Yo, yo, it's about to go down. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to ICO 101, a crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Paul. At ICO 101, we aim to deconstruct ICOs and ITOs from the ground up by answering some of the commonly asked questions and addressing many common concerns regarding ICOs and initial token offerings. This week, I'm going to forego that typical interview and preview format that I've been doing for the last couple of weeks and share with you some of my thoughts regarding the battles of good ICO and the bad ICOs. But before we get started, I want to thank you for listening to ICO 101. The reception you all have given me is more than I expected, and the growth in listens has been encouraging to say the least, so please keep sharing. Almost all of my time invested into ICO 101 is a labor of love, and I appreciate all the feedback thus far. I will continue to work hard for you. Currently, we release one guaranteed episode a week, but I would love to do one more show per week or every other week. Although we have some ideas on the format and the show additions, I would welcome some show format ideas from the community. If there is something you want to hear more of on ICO 101, then please let me know. If there is something you want to hear less of, then please tell me as well. You can reach me by email, aaron.paul@crypto101podcast.com or via Twitter at ICO 101 podcast. I'm not a professional investment institution, bank, lawyer, or accountant, and I don't pretend to play one. I'm not offering any legal, accounting, or financial advice, so please make sure you listen, take notes, research, and make your own informed decisions regarding ICOs. So this week I had an interview no call, no show on me. It's not the first time. No call, no shows, unreturned emails, and broken good faith promises are part of any professional space. The ICO space is no different. Good faith is what separates professional companies from the unprofessional companies and is the medium between mostly successful and mostly failure, in my opinion. I learned many years ago the value of getting to work on time, not just on time, but just a bit early, prepared and ready to go. Literally, ready to go. Don't just get to work, start thinking about what you should be doing. No, you should already have a list of 3 to 5 critical things you know need to be done right now that will represent a win for you for the rest of the day. I took the same mentality into the business world as a private business owner. I made it my solemn vow to never be the person who showed up for the business meeting late. I did this for a number of reasons. Number one, it's just ultra professional. Number two, the psychological win I get over the person I'm meeting with for being on time or early is absolutely critical. This is a key piece of business psychological warfare. I know that when the person or persons I'm meeting with is late, or they roll up and they see me sitting there, sitting down, waiting for them with a smile on my face, then I know I'm probably closer to getting what I wanted from this meeting as a result of just being on time. Ultra professional. Advantage me. Three, if the conditions of number two do not result in me getting closer to our intended meeting, then no matter what, I know I won the most important part of the game. I showed up on time. I played an offensive game, not a defensive game. I was prepared. I was ready. I did my best. I may have lost, but I did not beat myself. And my opponent? He or she knows the score. They know that even if we didn't do business the way we both thought business should be done, meaning that once the expectation game settled and the dust cleared, we agreed not to do business together. But I, as a professional, earned my keep in their eyes by being ultra professional. The next time I reach out, I will get a welcoming reception from that individual. Almost guaranteed. And the business professional who was a no-call, no-show in your industry, who didn't return the email, who didn't return the Skype call, they know in their hearts what they did was wrong, unprofessional, and overall should not have happened. They have one of two options. One, contact that person no matter what and make it right as soon as possible. Right what was wrong. Number two, don't make contact. But here's the mistake on number two. The psychological effect for not reaching out weighs greater on them than it does the person who has stood up. It is almost always guaranteed that their paths will cross or might one day cross. And the person who will be the most uncomfortable in this game will be the person who justified in their mind that they didn't need to follow up on a blatant professional blunder. You might think that being stood up for a meeting or the person who didn't answer your email or text message or Skype or whatever, that you did something wrong. You might feel offended or emotional with many different feelings floating through your mind. but you didn't do anything wrong. You should not feel offended, and you need to control your emotions and think about the end game. You won. Trust me, I teach this all the time. There are many ICOs, pre and post, who fall into the above analogy. How many do you think are coming to work ready to go? How many ICOs are showing up to the meeting on time, prepared, playing offense instead of defense? You know, the ultra professional. The ICO CEO who goes out of their way to clear their email daily to ensure their people are prepared, organized, hitting key performance indicators, truly going above and beyond professionalism. How many are out there? How many do you think are unprofessional? The no call, no shows. The I'm not going to answer that dude's Skype. I can't be bothered. That person's bothering me. Or fill in the blank. Who knows what they're thinking? You will be surprised to know that there are way more no call, no shows than you might think. Who am I in the ICO space anyways? I'm Aaron Paul. I'm just a podcaster. Who cares? No, I'm not Aaron Paul, a podcaster. I'm you, the average consumer who loves the decentralized blockchain cryptocurrency smart contract space. I am you who's looking for the next big product, the next awesome leader, the next truly disruptive company in this space. But are we, the average consumer, being treated professionally? It doesn't feel like it sometimes, and especially now. There is an entire industry within the ICO space that is dedicated to launching ICOs with the sole purpose of getting the market cap as big as they can get it. Not because the market cap justifies the business, but because the bigger they get that market cap, the bigger the payday. Does that seem professional to you? I mean, yeah, the average person doesn't always understand the underlying tech involved in these new companies. But in my short time as a professional in the blockchain space, I've learned that a lot of the very same CEOs within this space don't fully understand the underlying tech because it moves so darn fast. We, the average investor, don't have to fully understand the underlying tech in order to invest in a company. We just need to know that this stuff makes sense. The average person knows if these companies make sense or not, most of the time. Look at the product, watch YouTube videos, listen to the leaders speak, watch the videos online. Find the social sites talking about them. Look at the white paper. Look at the evolution of the white paper. It's turned into a business plan. Where's the tech explanation? Is it possible that the people who made the white paper can't actually explain the tech? Did you ever think about that? Even better, now the white papers are starting to be rebranded as owner's manuals, quote unquote. Who got paid $1 million to coin that catchy new phrase? Who doesn't want an owner's manual with your shiny new utility token? To the moon! Stop letting ICOs pull the wool over your eyes. Do not be deceived by fancy words like truly decentralized, revolutionary new sustainable currency, or the only solution to the spend and reserve currency problem, enhanced peer-to-peer, zero cost transaction fees, blah, blah, insert catchy lingo. No. Medium.com just released an article that reported 81% of ICOs raising $50 million or more were scams. Straight up. Nearly half of all 2017 ICOs have failed. Nearly half. This isn't fake FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. This is real FUD. Freaking undeniable data. That's why here at ICO 101, we ask companies the question, what are you going to do with all of that money? Why should I participate in your token sale? If we don't ask these questions, if we don't take this posture, then who will? If you are a current or future ICO leader listening to this podcast, then you need to know there is a battle out there. You versus them. The one who genuinely wants to succeed in making real, meaningful change. And them. Those who won't succeed in making real, meaningful change in this sector, but don't really care because they suckered people into making them rich with fancy marketing lingo and powerhouse ICO campaign firms. Be professional always. Outwork your opponent. You must win. You must succeed. You must not get lumped into the, oh no, it's just another ICO scam camp. Do not get suckered into the ICO marketing machine that will promote you to fluffy $30 million hard caps in the sky when you only need $7 million. Stick to your talking points, the simple ones, the ones that speak to us, the average consumer. Treat us professionally and as equals in this space. You cannot do it without us, and we cannot do it without you. Become a thought leader in the community and heed the call from my colleague, Matthew Aaron, of Crypto 101 Podcast, asking all current thought leaders to please have more commentary and debate around the average person. Please, less about block sizes, nodes, and other things a consumer doesn't know anything about or really care about for that matter. Stay true to your desires of contributing to the future of blockchain. smart contracts, cryptocurrency, and overall decentralized platforms that will disrupt the current establishments that are way too big to fail. Thanks again for listening. Check out the links on the show notes and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a positive review. If you want to get in touch with me, then send me an email at aaron.paul@crypto101podcast.com or contact me on Twitter at ICO101podcast. Until next time, peace.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.